It's the Cap and Haas Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
With the 9th selection of the 2015 MLB Draft, the Chicago Cubs select Ian Happ, an outfielder from the University of Cincinnati in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cubs add another bat to their impressive stable of prospects. Ian Happ is now a Chicago Cub, and he joins us on the hotline. Ian, good morning, congratulations, and welcome to the best baseball city in America.
Morning, Ian.
Morning, thank you very much.
No disrespect to people in Cincinnati or Pittsburgh, your hometown, or St. Louis. Baseball on the north side of this city is sick, man, and you're walking in at a really – you're getting in on the ground floor of something special. Have you been following the Cubs at all to see this rise from nowhere to where they're at today?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Great to see the bats coming through and all the young guys, and really excited to be a part of it.
How unexpected has your emergence been, Ian? I mean, you haven't been in college for that long. You went the college route, unlike a lot of players coming out of high school, highly regarded. From what I understand, though, you were maybe a bit of a late bloomer coming out of high school in the Pittsburgh area. You weren't necessarily heavily recruited. You end up at Cincinnati, and looked like that was a good direction for you to go.
Yeah, it was a great choice. Really enjoyed my 3 years. And wasn't heavily recruited out of high school, but got a chance to play in the Cape Cod League as a freshman, and it's been a great experience.
When you were getting ready for the draft, it's obviously a nerve-wracking time because this is going to be, you know, where you're going to spend a good portion of your life. What did you think the Cubs were going to take you? Are you surprised you were still on the board at 9? Or, no, man, I didn't think I was going in the top 15.
Well, I kind of had an inclination, you know, after the workout the week before. I was up in Chicago and got a chance to be at Wrigley and get to meet the front office and really felt good about, you know, my experience, you know, the family atmosphere that was there. And I thought there was a chance, and I was really happy the way it turned out.
They list you as an outfielder and second baseman. That's an odd combination for a guy coming out. Which one is your more natural position, and what do you expect to be playing moving forward?
Yeah, you know, I played a lot of shortstop growing up, and then short and second my freshman year of college. We had a coaching change that pushed me to the outfield with an injury. So we'll see what happens. Whatever the Cubs, you know, want me to do is where I'll be, and I'll be the best I can be at that position.
We have another Pittsburgh kid here in Chicago who is grabbing headlines. It's Brandon Saad of the Chicago Blackhawks, scored the game-winning goal in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. He's around your age, maybe a little bit older. Did you know him back in Pittsburgh at all?
No, never did. Never did. There's some great hockey in Western PA, though, I can tell you that.
The Cubs ended up drafting you. The White Sox, from what I understand, were also very interested, spent a lot of time around Cincinnati and watching your games. Did you get a sense that the Sox were as interested in the Cubs, and did you have some conversations, or were you aware of that?
No, not as much with the White Sox. Kind of seemed like they wanted to go the pitcher route, which you can see with Carson being there. But, you know, the Cubs is really the only Chicago team that was interested.
Now, do you have an agent yet or a representative, and how quick do you think you get something done so you can get your career started?
I'm hoping as soon as possible. You know, the family is going over and discussing, you know, what the next step is, and hopefully soon, you know, be in Chicago and getting ready to get things going.
Aren't you a finance major? Do you really need an agent? Aren't you going to negotiate your own contract?
Yeah, I am a finance major. Brother was a finance major, so we got it in the family.
Have you graduated from Cincinnati, or how far away are you from getting your degree?
1 year. 1 year, yep. Got 2 semesters left.
Is that important for you to do that?
Extremely important. Mother's a college professor, so she wouldn't let me get away with it.
Where does she teach at?
Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
Yeah.
So, you go to Cincinnati. Are you a Buckeye fan or
a Bearcat?
No, I'm a Bearcat.
All Bearcat.
Yeah, have to be a Bearcat fan. Can't like those guys up north.
How would you describe your approach to the play? Obviously, you come out, and a lot of people have described you as the best hitter, you know, in this draft, and your approach, and just how things started to turn for you at Cincinnati, and when they did.
My approach, definitely try to be patient, try to get on base. Just try to have quality at bats every time. I think that's the biggest thing for me is having quality at bats, making solid contact, and understanding that, you know, if you have a quality at bat every time, you're going to be successful.
The Cubs are big on grinding at bats, and back in the day, I mean, we remember Dusty Baker saying, walks, they clog the bases. And everyone laughed. And now the Cubs are all about Chris Bryant has got an OBP at 400, Anthony Rizzo up near 500. Is that something that's been drilled into you? Because my opinion, having been around baseball, guys that are not real patient hitters, you can't really train them to do that once they get to the big leagues.
Yeah, I think for my whole life, you know, it's kind of been something that my family, my dad, my brother, you know, drilled into me is to be patient, understand the strike zone. That's just huge. If you can swing at quality pitches, you know, you're going to be a lot more successful at swinging balls all over the place.
When you look at the organization you're joining, Ian, the Cubs have put Chris Bryant, even though it seemed like a lot of people were getting impatient, he was on a fast track. He was drafted just 2 years ago. Addison Russell is a guy who was in the major leagues, you know, quicker than maybe people anticipated. You look across town here in Chicago, Carlos Rodon is pitching for the White Sox 1 year after getting drafted. What does that do to your expectations, and how does it make you a little bit, I don't say anxious, but eager to get started?
Yeah, it's exciting. Definitely exciting. You know, I'd like to move through as fast as possible. You know, that's the goal, is to be a Major League Baseball player. So it's definitely nice to see.
Hey, what do you like to do outside of baseball? Any hobbies for you there?
Big golfer. Golf is the second love. Actually got a tee time in about half an hour, so excited to get out on the course.
Yeah,
today.
I'm playing at 2 o'clock. I can't wait.
Doesn't that mess up your swing at all, though, Ian, during the season? Does that have any impact, or you're able to separate the two?
No, I've been doing both for so long that they're kind of separate.
So what's the handicap?
You know, it's been floating around, not playing too much. You know, down to as low as a 4. Up to as high as an 8.
So. Whoa. 4. I'm going to need like 3 a side if we ever get to play.
All right, we'll go out.
Long off the tee? Are we more dialed in? And who's the coolest person you ever played golf with?
Definitely long off the tee. Need to work on the short game. Coolest person? That's a tough one. Haven't played with a lot of celebs.
None? You know, being Ian Happ, you're going to be a millionaire here shortly. You're going to be people that want to play golf with you, dude.
I'm excited for that. That'd be a great time.
Did you grow up a Pirates fan? Did you become a Reds fan?
Not huge. You know, definitely enjoyed being in Pittsburgh and going to games at PNC, kind of, you know, makes you root for the Pirates, but definitely not a diehard fan of any team until now.
Yeah, exactly. Now
good
you
answer.
Know where your checks are. Last thing for you. Favorite food, would it be pizza? Because it can't be that nasty chili that they serve out in Cincinnati.
Definitely not that chili. Never. I don't like that stuff. I'm a breakfast guy.
Uh-huh.
I have to go with pancakes, probably.
Like that's normal, just
call.
Buttermilk pancakes, or nah, I like them with chocolate chips and blueberries. And
no, I stay away from that. Normal buttermilk pancakes. Dad makes a mean batch.
Dad makes a mean good. Batch. There you go. We got the best food in the world, great baseball fans, and a team on the rise. So best of luck. Keep working hard. We look forward to seeing you one day playing at Wrigley Field.
Congratulations, Ian.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All the best. There he is, Ian Happ. He is a 20-year-old young man from the University of Cincinnati.
Finding a little time for us before his tea time.
How about that?
This afternoon. That's pretty good. Good golfer. Very accomplished. 4 handicap?
That's pretty good. I remember when Greg Maddux was here, he was telling a bunch of us in the dugout that they would travel in Atlanta with all of them took their golf clubs. The 5 starters, the pitchers, and the guy pitching that day would go to work. The other 4 would go to the golf course.
Who was it? Have you heard hitters talk about they don't golf during the season? Because who was the real accomplished hitter that refused to golf during the season because of what it did to his
I don't
timing?
Remember.
But you can see, I guess, why that might be an issue.
But some guys said this.
Nah.
Garbage.
Garbage?
Yep.
But how many times – maybe you are just an accomplished golfer, but some people used to say – people that swing a golf club like a baseball bat. You know, you need to work on your golf swing.
There's no question.
Because they're yeah,
and so there was
easy
a
to do.
Pro golfer named Mo Norman.
Mo?
Mo Norman was the greatest Canadian golfer of all time. They say the best ball striker ever. Ever.
Love and, that term. What else are you doing about striking the ball every time
because
you – every time you take a swing?
No, because some guys are able to do certain things, but they're not pure every time, but their strength
the
will.
Ball striker.
And Mo Norman developed a set of golf clubs with Sano had them, grips that were like you swing it like a baseball bat. Instead of having to get your grip here and get your hands back, you just took it back and you just swung. Yeah.
Grip it and rip it.
Grip it and rip it. That's exactly what it was. 312-235. Very nice kid. 312-235-2525. Carson Fulmer will join us at 11:25.
Equal time.
That's right. Vanderbilt University right-handed pitcher, White Sox first-round pick, number 8 overall in the 2015 draft. So he'll be with us at 11:25. Excuse me.
You're 312.
Right there? I am. 312-235-2525.
Question on the Twitter line. Maybe you can answer this when we talk about our Cubs pitching discussion.
Uh-huh.
Derek Nicole asks, or maybe it's Nicole Derek, why not bring Don Roach up from Iowa? He's 6-0 with a 2.07 ERA. Bet he can make it longer than 3 innings.
I don't know anything about him. I'd have to do a little homework.
But you don't hear many. You don't hear much about Cubs pitchers at Iowa who are ready to take the next step.
Correct.
Or else you probably would have heard about, you know, some prospect on the rise. C.J. Edwards is not that guy yet.
And he's a bullpen guy now.
Yeah.
Been using him out of the pen, and his name is no longer C.J.
I'm sorry. What is it?
Carl.
Carl Edwards?
He does not want to be called C.J. any longer.
When did he do that?
A couple weeks ago. Carl. Carl Edwards.
That's an interesting change. Yeah. Didn't realize that.
Yeah. And I don't think it was a tribute to the NASCAR driver.
Isn't there a driver named Carl Edwards?
Yep. There's now a pitcher named Carl Edwards, too.
All right. Hey, confusing.
Larry in Chicago, or are you going by Lawrence now?
Hey, Larry.
No, we use Larry always.
All right.
Ted Williams was famously obsessed with his baseball swing, would never play golf during the
Thank
season.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. I could not remember who that was.
Thank
sure.
you. Larry, you're a good man. Thanks, buddy.
Yep. Ted Williams. Okay. Pretty good hitter.
You covered him, didn't you?
No. I was ahead of him.
No question. He grew up idolizing you. Keith in Indiana. Hey, Keith.
Hey, boys. What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Well, I got a question about the Cubs, and okay. I know you're going to love this. Why don't the Cubs trade Castro, Lake, and James Russell, who can't hit home plate with a ball unless he's standing on it, for Hamels from Philadelphia?
Well, first of all, James Russell just was released by Atlanta, so nobody's yep. looking to trade for him. Castro, Russell, and who else?
Junior Lake.
No.
Do you think that Ruben Amaro Jr. wakes up in the morning, mainlines crack, and then says, I think I'll call the Cubs?
Well, come on now. Castro strikes out so many times, and Junior Lake does too.
You're painting a hell of a picture why Philly would want
to
make that trade.
You're take your discarded items
you
off
You do know
roster.
That the Cubs talked to them over the winter, and the answer coming back was, yeah, you can have Hamels. We get either Bryant or Addison Russell.
Okay, I understand that, but if you go 3-for-1, he can't turn that down.
Yes, he can.
Let me ask you a question. No. I want to play a game with you, Keith.
Okay.
Okay, you're now the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. Okay. I am Jed Hoyer.
Hey, Jed.
Hey, Keith, Jed Hoyer, yeah. How's it going there, buddy?
Hey, it's going great. The weather's great.
All right, I got an idea here. You guys okay. suck. We're going to get Cole Hamels and his money off your books. We'll give you Junior Lake, Starling Castro, and this kid who's found it now named James Russell. You want to make a deal?
Capithetical.
You want that deal for your new team?
Right now. We've got Russell for short. We don't need Junior Lake. Our outfield is
perfect. No. You're the Phillies. You're running the Phillies.
Okay. Yes, I'll take it. In a minute.
Okay, Keith, there's a call on the other line. It's Bill Giles, the owner. You're fired.
You're fired.
Come on, Bubbles. No, he'll do
Bubbles.
That in a minute.
Thanks, Keith.
Sparky, that's never going to happen.
Thanks, Keith.
Holy smokes. James Russell, Castro, and who was the third one?
Junior Lake.
Wow.
For Cole Hamels.
That might be the most ridiculous trade suggestion I've heard in a while.
I don't know. Maybe in a while. You've come up with some.
Mine are always realistic.
Okay. How many have happened?
Okay. It's a different story. 312-235-2525. 215-235-2525. 312-235-2525. Again, Carson Fulmer will join us in a few minutes. We've got a few other things I'd like to discuss with you.
Spray to all fields.
Yep. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come to App today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's Apt, ABT, app.com. Ask for Steve Shapiro, at Pleasing People since 1936.
I want to ask you about an email I've received that echoes a few of the other types of email I've received in light of the Brandon Saad column.
Okay, sounds good. Come right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
That's something we talked about going into the game is how good they are, really, at playing a good, tight, checking game and patient. And that's something we got to do as a team with not getting frustrated and taking it one shift at a time and one period at a time. And chances are going to come, and we need to execute when they do.
I think we're playing against a good team. I don't think they probably got the respect around here that maybe that was the deserved, and not seeing them as much as we have in Western opponents.
Brandon Saad and Coach Q talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning, the tight checking style, and playing with patience, pouncing on opportunity. Welcome back to Cap and Haw.
Joel Quenneville's right. I don't think they got the respect they probably deserved. We didn't know a lot about them in Chicago, and I think a lot of fans reacted to that first victory and thought, okay, I could, anybody talking sweep? I'll bring my broom. You know, that was the mentality after game one. And they have shown since that point that they not only can compete with the Hawks, but might have been the better team through four games. So that's the challenge ahead tomorrow night in Game 5 down in Tampa. We heard from Brandon Saad, and he has been as big in the last, you know, since they were trailed the Ducks 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals. In the next six games, Brandon Saad has four goals. They're still playing today because of Brandon Saad coming up huge. So I wrote about him in the Tribune today in my column, and part of any discussion about Brandon Saad has to do with what?
What contract.
Has to be, right?
Got
to
be.
It's irresponsible not to address that, not to mention that. He's a restricted free agent. He's going to get paid big time. As I wrote, I think it could go as high. He could get one offer as high as $6 million, an offer sheet. Doesn't mean he's leaving town. It means the Blackhawks will have to ante up whatever is necessary to keep this guy who is, his ceiling is a perennial all-star. He's going to be the replacement for Marian Hossa. He's one of the best young power forwards in the game of hockey. They're going to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
So I address all that. If you pay him, somebody else has got to go. Email just got a little while ago, and I've gotten several along these lines. Why write an ominous column in the midst of fan joy about the Hawks? Fans don't want to read or hear about anything foreboding. Does anybody care about the salary cap? Not really. They just want to celebrate the Hawks' victory and know there will be at least one more game at the Madhouse.
Well, I didn't look at your column. I read it last night.
Was it foreboding?
No.
Was it ominous?
And it basically said he's not going anywhere.
What's ominous about saying the Hawks are going to lock up one of the best young players in the sport for the next, you know, however many years, no matter what it takes?
Ruined my weekend. Thanks, Haw. Way to go. Ready to play golf, relax. I got no Cubs this weekend.
Now you're going to steer that boat into some choppy waters.
Hang out at Captain Kenny's in Countryside tomorrow night, have a couple Not Your Father's Root Beers, and now Mike and I are just going to hang out and just commiserate with each other.
What a miserable weekend that would be.
Way to go, Haw.
Tell just me about it.
Ruined it.
Come on, really?
Yeah,
it's just reality.
Silly.
You know, these are things that you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but this is not that far away.
Agreed.
You've got
a
maximum of three games left, as Doc Emrick so well eloquently put it the other night. On Wednesday night, it's over. And maybe they're not going to be Wednesday night. It could be over Monday night, as many of us expect it to be, one way or another.
One way or another. There you go.
But saying Brandon Saad is worth keeping no matter what, and I believe that, isn't that ominous? People have been talking about Patrick Sharp likely playing his last postseason for the Blackhawks for weeks, months.
Agreed.
Brian Bickle's an easy target. Christopher Stieg. Excuse me.
You okay?
Voice change.
How's puberty going?
So far, so good. I'm on the bowling team.
Exactly.
Things are going well.
Things are going well for you. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, can I change directions?
Yeah, okay,
here?
You want to change
Sprayed
directions?
All fields. Aaron Rodgers went off on cameras after LeBron James cut his head. Aaron Rodgers is taken to Twitter. The camera guy couldn't move the camera. The on-field and on-court cameras are unnecessary, in my opinion. Hashtag get off the court and field.
Oh, geez.
Next tweet. The under-the-basket camera has always been dangerous. The camera following players into the huddle is just unnecessary, in my opinion. The next tweet. But somehow fixed cameras on sidelines and end zones weren't a good idea, according to the NFL. And the last one, did the danger of under-the-basket cameras play a role in the mid-range mindset and ability of players like at Drew Gooden and Juwan Howard?
R-E-L-A-X.
Is that you or Aaron Rodgers? Because you've been saying that a lot lately, too.
I use that. I go to play.
How much does Aaron Rodgers make per year? I mean, he's got to be a player that is in $20 million a year, $15. Let's say conservatively, he makes $1 million a game.
Mm-hmm.
16 games, probably 16 mil.
Yep.
Players get paid during the season. So the excessive salaries, exorbitant salaries that the NFL players make, how much of that is related to the enormous bajillion dollar television revenue that the most popular sport in America creates?
Mm-hmm.
All of that comes with a price. Some of that, these cameras are all part of that process. They're all part of the exposure of these finals of the NFL. That's part of it. Don't turn around and complain about it. Do they need to be safer? Are they potential hazards? They have to be. You have to be careful. It is a problem that needs to be monitored. But for athletes to criticize the system that has made them
wealthy beyond their wildest dreams,
giving them generational wealth, just, you know, rings hollow to me.
Smacks of being out of touch.
A little bit. I mean, LeBron ran into a camera. He cut his head. He got an owie. His mommy kissed it, and they went on, and he moved on. He didn't have a concussion, thank goodness. I'm shocked it doesn't happen more. But how about the teams, too? The teams put the – they could make more room for these – the media – but they have stopped doing that because why? Those are premium seats.
Yeah, that they're getting a couple G's a seat for.
Yeah, so there's money. And what do they do with that money? Some of them pocket it. Some of them, they use it to pay these players millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't have a ton of sympathy for what Aaron Rodgers is saying here. I don't know. I like Aaron Rodgers. He speaks intelligently most of the time. I don't think that this is one of those times.
Agreed. Well said, David. Big news, Blackhawks fans. CSN Chicago is giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Enter for your chance to win out at csnchicago.com/game6. Winner will be selected Monday at noon. That's csnchicago.com/game6. Go there right now. Hey, coming up today, Chuck Garfine in for me on Sports Talk Live today at 5. Sox at Tampa. Who are you waving at?
I'm giving him a thumbs up for that beautiful graphic that was on TV.
Sports Talk Live today at 5 with Chuck Garfine. I got the afternoon off. Sox at Tampa Bay at 6, followed by Post Game Live with Chuckles. Blackhawks pregame live tomorrow at 6:30 on CSN Plus. What are you laughing
at? That's Cap's big foot going down there. I've got the afternoon off.
Chicago Fire at New England Revolution tomorrow at 6:30 on CSN. New episode of Beer Money Sunday.
Fire.
At 7.
Go Fire.
That's right. Need a little touch of that.
No, I'm not moving it because they're undefeated, right?
Yeah,
touch.
We put it back on.
Yeah.
And they won.
Okay.
So there you go.
Go Fire.
We got to grab a quick timeout, and then we'll talk to Carson Fulmer, Vanderbilt star, now a White Sox pitcher. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Welcome back, Cap and Haw, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. And we will talk to, hopefully, Carson Fulmer as soon as he calls us here on the old program.
Yeah, it's draft week.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
It's not sports.
Oh, gee.
You drive in from the northern suburbs.
All right.
You get to the junction.
Yeah.
And you can go express lanes or the locals.
Familiar.
Okay. There's nothing that I find more irritating than someone who stays in the middle lane in rush hour and then stops and tries to cut his way back in to get on the express lanes. So people all behind him have to stop. It's a joke.
Well, have you done that?
I don't do the cutting in. I always get in the left lane, and I just sit there waiting to creep my way into the express lanes every morning.
And
I saw two near accidents today, and I'm like—
So somebody's in the local lanes in the middle lane, and they're trying to get over to the express lane.
Right. Like, they'll zoom up, and then they'll stop. So the cars coming up behind them who want to keep going to the locals have to evade them or slam on their brakes so this idiot can slide his way into the express lanes.
Bad planning. They didn't look ahead. They didn't try to get left.
Right. So how— Do they not put like a plastic barricade there? So if you don't enter the spot to get into the express lanes way back, you're out of luck. Sorry.
Somebody would find a way to figure that one out too. There's bad drivers everywhere. I mean, come on.
It's just brutal.
You just, bad morning this morning? Bad commute?
No, I had a great commute. I had my wife with me. It was fun.
Now it's fun. Did she call or something? Because 2 hours ago it was like, God, that was some trip.
Well, she's a backseat driver in the front seat. There's no doubt about that.
And
I don't
have
the car
the
with the handbrake on the dashboard when she's like, slow down.
Sometimes, though, Cap, the local lanes are the way to go because everyone else is wanting to gain that little edge in the express lanes. Mm-hmm. And the express lanes are not going like they're standing still. They're not nothing express about them. Local lanes might be better because it's steady. You know, it keeps moving.
Or you can jump off.
Or you can jump off and, you know, go that route. Find your favorite shortcut.
Your drive to Lake Forest and then all the way home has got to be brutal.
It's not bad. You figure it out. It's manageable. You figure out the ways to go. But I don't worry about the, you know, it depends on you go with the flow. So if you're right in the local lane, you just stay in the local lanes.
Right. Won't be trying to cut over.
But you can't tell me that you have never done that.
In my
entire... You drive a blue Corvette. You're trying to...
I haven't been.
Well, you haven't been. That's your fault.
Driving a Chevy Impala because I backed into my own Corvette.
Oh, God.
Getting it back tomorrow.
That had to hurt a little bit.
Yeah, in the wallet as well.
Yeah, knowing that you did that to yourself had to be the hardest thing to take.
Brutal. The sickest sound when I backed the Tahoe, the old 2004 Monster.
At what point did you realize what he had done? What?
A quarter of a second after I heard the sickening crunch of the fiberglass on the vet.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And my wife screaming.
The only time I've done something like that is I knocked over a garbage can.
I've done that multiple times. You ever run out of gas?
Have I ever run out of gas? No.
I've done that a few times.
Really? Just trying to push it? You think, oh, I can get to the gas station. I can get there.
So I got
in the Corvette, you ran out of gas?
The old Corvette, yeah.
Oh, the old Corvette. I'm sorry. I forgot there were multiple Corvettes. Most people only have one in their lives.
Well, I had an O2.
If they have that.
And my wife's not a Springsteen fan. Not at all. And he was in town. And I bought tickets.
That's got to be a great conversation.
And we're going to the concert. And she's like, I'll go. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It's such a big deal for you. I can find someone else to go with.
That's love.
Me. So she's all dressed up, high heels, nice outfit, and we're going to go to somewhere she wanted to go for dinner before the concert. It's on like a Sunday night, I think. We're driving.
14 courses?
No, but somewhere she wanted. We're driving down the Kennedy, and all of a sudden, I'm out of gas.
You ran out of gas on the way to a concert?
Yes.
Didn't you? There we go.
I am going down the Kennedy. I am coming near Ogden, and I look up, and I'm out of gas.
You don't want to be stuck in the city with your gas light on. That's the one thing, because you can't find a gas station.
I break out in a sweat. I'm like, she's going to go crazy. I coast. I go, we got a problem. She's like, what? I'm like, I'm out of gas. What? She's like fanatical. It hits a half a tank. She fills back up. I coast off at Ogden. Fortunately, the light's green. I coast through the light, and now I'm going like 2 miles an hour, and I pull it over to the curb right there before you turn on Ogden, right there on the entrance. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I'm like,
it's not going to end well.
We got no gas. She's all over me. So I said, let me get a taxi. We'll just go to the restaurant, and then we'll take a cab to the concert, and I'll deal with the car after the concert.
Are you going to leave your car there?
Yeah.
So you're going to dump your car, leave it there. It's a Corvette.
Yeah.
And then you go to you're going to really enjoy the concert thinking that somebody's going to be doing something to your Corvette.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to go to this concert in the first place.
Correct.
Bet you that was a fun night.
So we get out of the car. She's still in the car. I go find the cab. I see a guy. Hang on, buddy. It's like a quarter of a block down on Ogden. I run back around the car. All right, Mindy, let's go. I got a cab. It starts raining all of a sudden sideways.
Oh, my gosh. This is like a bad movie.
Yeah. Sideways. So I lock the car. She is in 4-inch high heels. She is trying to get to the cab. By the time we get in, water is running down her face. She's got her hair soaking wet. Her shirt has now become a little more see-through than she wanted. Oh, and she is so mad.
I'm sure she loves your detailed stories.
She was furious.
Uh-huh. How was the concert?
Well, we got to the restaurant. We were meeting some friends. Jay Blanc, actually. He said, oh, let's go take care of the car now. I don't want it to get stolen. So my wife and his wife have dinner together. We're not there. He takes me.
They probably had a lovely meal.
To a gas station.
That worked out well.
Yeah.
The night's looking up.
Gas station. Get gas. Put it in the car. Bring the car over. By the time we get there, they haven't even been seated yet, and now the concert's going to start, so no dinner.
Oh, God.
So we get to the United Center, and I buy her a chicken sandwich at the concession stand, and she's just furious. So I sent her flowers the next day.
How was the concert?
Phenomenal.
How did she like the concert?
Didn't like it.
So the lesson is?
Don't take my wife to Springsteen.
Right, there you go. Absolutely, that's the lesson.
Didn't go well for me.
No. I think that the, keep your gas tank full, especially around the city, because there's not a whole lot of gas stations around here.
No.
I've had flat tires more than ever running out of gas. The flat tire experience is not. I think I've told you, though, about the one time I had a great flat tire experience, if you can have a great flat tire experience.
Really?
Coming out of the Bulls. I was coming out from a Bulls press conference, driving home to write a column, worried about your deadline, and then all of a sudden you get a flat tire and right there in the Edens. And
oh, the press conference was at Birdo.
Yeah, this was back when it was at Birdo. It was like a year or so ago. I'm just getting the jack out and like, oh God, here we go. I don't want to change a tire. It's rush hour. I'm wanting to get home to write.
You had no idea how to use the jack, did you?
Okay. Listen. I can change a tire. I grew up in Indiana. All right. I've had my share of flat tires. You learn how to change a tire. So I get the jack out, but I don't enjoy it. Who enjoys it, right? Really? Well, the guy that helped me enjoy it, because somebody pulls right in front of me. I'm like, gets out of his car. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen here? This looks a little bit
dicey.
Comes up to me, needs some help. I'm like, well, yeah, sure, thanks. I got a power jack or something. He gets equipment out of his trunk, comes over there. It's like I was watching the Indy 500, a pit stop. This guy works for Roger Penske or something. And he gets down there and he just, I'm like, what, can I do anything? No, I'm a mechanic. So he changed the tire. 5 minutes later, I'm on the road. It was great.
Did you grease his palm?
Yes, I did.
Wet his beak a little?
Yes, I did. I had
here's a dollar.
I had like $23 in my wallet, and that's all I could give him. And I my thanks, and then I tracked him down after. I got his contact information. Thanked him the next day.
A little shout out in the column, maybe?
No, but he did. He was a sports fan, so it was a good thing he wasn't like some of these texters, would have probably punctured my tire. Give me a spare. That's for that column, Haw.
By the way, yesterday was an anniversary for me and Steve Stone. Not together, but.
What was yesterday?
5 years ago, this happened.
I get tired of being nitpicked. and I get tired of being criticized unjustly. Why don't they talk to me first before they do it? Okay? And get my viewpoints and my feelings, and then make a determination. You know?
Yep.
The same way that I get called ridiculous, they're ridiculous in the way they report things, too. And another thing I'm going to say, I've won over 1,800 games as a manager, and I'm not a damn dummy. That I can tell you. Okay? There are only 13 others that have won more games than me. So I guess I think I know what the hell I'm doing. I don't care about talking to them. I'm talking to you through... to you for them. But I'm tired of it. You know, and Steve Stone, he's got enough problems doing what he does with the White Sox. What job has he had in baseball besides talking on the on television?
Whoa.
So that was Lou Piniella, of course, 5 years ago yesterday, the same day of the Blackhawks.
How do you remember that day?
As the same day as the Blackhawks parade and the Cubs and White Sox were playing.
I was at Wrigley that day.
You weren't at the parade?
I went to Wrigley after the parade.
Yeah, I was at Wrigley.
I did a day in Chicago sports, you know, like it was because the Blackhawks, if you remember, went to Wrigley that day.
Right. No, they went to Wrigley. That was a Friday. They went to Wrigley two nights later for Sunday Night Baseball, brought the cup to Wrigley.
You sure?
Yes. They did not come that day.
All right. Why? I was at Wrigley that day after the parade, though. I remember that.
So I'm standing on the field, and the word when Lou said, the way that some people say I'm ridiculous, they're ridiculous in the way they report things, that was a direct shot at me.
Yeah, I figured that.
I looked
that.
Around and went, whoa, that's my word. Is he mad at me? So
it was a phenomenal.
I'm standing in the third base coach's box with my back to the dugout, and all of a sudden I feel this presence behind me, and I turn around, and he goes off. Off.
He took a direct shot at Steve Stone. Yours was indirect.
Until he got in my face.
Well, yeah.
He never went over to Stoney.
Right. So he's face to face. How far apart, and did he spit in your face?
He like, did not
just
spit.
Accidentally, you know
but
what I mean?
But we were like umpires. Yeah.
You know, like the just spittle flying.
He's all over me like this.
Uh-huh.
That's BS.
Did he throw a base at you?
Yeah, exactly. And then Stoney exacerbates the situation by starting the broadcast that day. I guess Lou was a little upset with me, maybe because in 17 career at-bats, he's got only one RBI or something.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just to poke the bear a little more. And then Lou
Steve
and I...
Steve Stone? He's got enough problems doing what he does with the White Sox.
But that's Stoney's job. And now that's Lou Piniella went from the Cubs dugout to TV.
Doing some analyst work.
Yeah.
So
that was fun.
That was 5 years ago yesterday.
Why didn't you
on television?
Why didn't you do the Blackhawks parade on television?
I did the Cubs on television.
That day, so you didn't? Did you go to the parade?
Did not.
Okay, so 2000.
I went to the parade.
I might be confusing my years. So in 2013, didn't the Blackhawks go to the Wrigley right after the parade?
They might have. 2010, they did not.
In 2010, I remember riding in the media bus through the parade route.
2010, I did not.
Covered it that
13,
way.
I was there with Pat and Mark Schanowski, Pat Boyle, Mark Schanowski, and I got to anchor. From Grant Park.
Right.
That was cool.
And we don't want to talk about this year's parade.
Don't know if we're going to have one.
We're going to have a parade.
Correct.
Don't know when it's scheduled. Don't know what we'll do. How we'll react.
Just hoping that they have one.
Well, you don't know that yet, though. Game 5 will give a pretty good indication. Is it a 2-for-1 for the Blackhawks? You win tomorrow night, then you win Monday. Isn't that the way Hawks fans are looking at this?
Yes.
That
if
they win tomorrow night, there's no way they're losing Game 6 with the cup on the line Monday night here.
Correct.
That's good. That's the way that the Hawks want to look at this. We'll see.
By the way, I had one other thing for you. LeBron last night, 0 points in the fourth quarter on 2 shot attempts. Golden State goes small. LeBron came up
maybe
small.
Maybe he and J.R. Smith were fighting over who should be the alpha dog.
Wow. Hey, for weeks you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. Have you taken my advice yet and ordered yourself a MyPillow? MyPillow, the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Try it absolutely no risk to you. Sleep on it for 60 nights, and if you don't love it as much as I do, no problem. Return it. They'll refund 100% of your purchase price. That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. MyPillow, the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. MyPillow even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity is coming. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. Tess went out and see why they've sold over 5 million of these beauties. Act this week. MyPillow is giving you 50% off all products. Use promo code CAP, K-A-P. Log on to MyPillow.com, promo code CAP, K-A-P, or call 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com. Use promo code K-A-P for 50% off. We'll grab a quick timeout, maybe play a little page two, or hope to hear from Carson Fulmer. Be right back.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is page two.
Page two wraps up the week here on Cap and Haw. Stories that maybe aren't the top of the show, but still equally fun and important.
Yes, and we would have loved to have talked to Carson Fulmer, but do you think he got any bad like info from another Vanderbilt grad? Like, don't talk to those clowns.
Don't talk to those guys.
Don't talk to those guys. Think he interceded?
Well, maybe anyway. Jay's neighbor did.
We're going to get to page two in a second, but I wanted to – we were called out in an email from a viewer, Doug Halpiny. Mm-hmm. Says, we're surprised we haven't heard more about Donnie Roach, who's a 25-year-old minor leaguer who has 38 and 26 in the minor leagues last 4 years. Last year with the Padres, 1-0. This year, Iowa, 6-0. Best ground ball ratio in the major leagues last year, 64%. So I guess we should have heard of Donnie Roach, but now we have. So shame on us.
Shame on us.
Okay.
Didn't know.
Moving on to page two.
All right. Would you like to go first since I went first yesterday?
Did you go first yesterday? Who keeps track of these things?
I keep track of a lot of
Lupinella.
Mindless stuff in my head.
So, yeah, I'll go first. So, you look at the rumor coming out of the NBA draft, which is not that far away. I got the notice from the Bulls draft 2 weeks from yesterday, I believe, is June 25th would be the NBA draft. Top of the draft, Minnesota has the number one overall pick. Why is that important here in Chicago? Well, Jahlil Okafor is a guy who's going to be one or two. And the future of the former young star is going to be determined based on what the Timberwolves do. So the Timberwolves, according to this latest report from Mark Heisler, who's writing for Forbes now, freelancer, but he's the great NBA insider, longtime LA Times guy, Tribune Company guy, terrific writer. He says, Flip Saunders, Minnesota GM slash coach, who had been leaning toward Okafor, is said to have turned pro Karl-Anthony Towns in recent weeks after seeing him last week in L.A. The splash sent ripples through the NBA, says an insider, quote, there's no doubt the T-Wolves are taking Towns.
Yeah, they're locked in.
If that's true, that means Jahlil Okafor is going to a franchise that has a long storied tradition of big men, of centers. I think that's great for Jahlil Okafor. I think that certainly you could, basketball reasons, the Midwest, the Minnesota thing would make sense. You get to play with Andrew Wiggins and
Jahlil
Garnett.
Okafor will be a megastar in LA.
I think he could be.
He's a great guy.
I think it could be great for him. I think the market could be great for him. It's one of those situations where you a blessing in disguise. Everybody wants to be the number one overall pick, maybe a blow to his ego, whatever. But I think that he really could be better off in L.A. That would be a great move, I think. Exciting for Jahlil Okafor fans.
Can we trade Noah for that pick?
I want to get to the trade Noah idea that your guy Ski advanced yesterday.
Rita Hay, a huge fan who is dying of liver and lung cancer, has been given 6 months to live by doctors. One of Hayes' wishes was to see the inside of Lucas Oil Stadium. Bob Kravitz, a longtime Indianapolis Star reporter, now with WTHR, helped make it happen, and then some. On Wednesday, the 7-year-old Hay and her family arrived at the stadium for the Colts' open workout. But instead of heading to one of the stadium seats, the family went on the field. Hay, in a wheelchair and on oxygen, was ecstatic. And that was before Chuck Pagano appeared on the field and greeted them. Earlier in the day, Kravitz texted Pagano to thank him for making this all possible. I'm honored you asked, he wrote. It's why I'm here, period.
That's
that guy's a stud.
That's great. That's a great move by him. It's great by Bob Kravitz, who's a friend of mine and ours. And I think that, yeah, that's one of the better stories that come out of this week. That's terrific. I want to get back to NBA for a second because I teased it or mentioned it. So Billy Donovan is a new coach at Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
You threw out the whole idea of Joakim Noah. You know, you should trade him for whoever. Mark Schanowski, I think, yesterday on CSNChicago.com.
He advanced a possible trade to send Joakim to Oklahoma City.
Yes. Yes. He had the scenario and players involved, and he mentioned the obvious link between Billy Donovan and Joakim Noah, mm-hmm. which goes back to Florida. They had success together. I understand the desire to want to maybe be creative and look at different ways to improve this roster. Number one, do you really think that any NBA team is going to want to take a chance on a guy with his knee situation and his salary next season and his uncertainty? And number two, if you're the Bulls and Fred Hoiberg and you're the new coach, don't you want to have something that you can count on or someone in that locker room that you know you're going to get every day? Effort, professionalism.
Trade him in a second. It's productivity, man. He's not that productive.
When he's healthy, he is.
Okay, unless you're doing a double knee replacement, it's not going to happen.
In an offense that – so you're done with Joakim Noah, period.
Period.
You have no –
unless I can't trade him, then I'm not going to cut him. I'm keeping him. But if I can move him
– what makes people think he's going to be tradable? I don't think he's tradable.
You're willing to keep him.
I know, because –
that means someone else out there might be as deranged as you.
I'm willing to keep him because he has helped my franchise before. And I also know that he's got 1 year left. Let's see where this goes. And I have a new coach that's going to need credibility. And in this great, you know, offensive wizardry that, hey, Fred Hoiberg rolls out the balls and all of a sudden we're 110-point-a-game team.
He can't move. Trade him.
He can't move. Trade him. Who's going to take a trade for a guy who can't move? My point is that I don't know that you're going to trade him. I don't know that anyone wants him.
Yeah, if you can get something,
you do it. So
you're going
to be stuck with him. You're going to have to make the most out of what you have left.
Then you keep him. But if you can move him, move him. Gone. See you later. Minnesota Vikings owner Ziggy Wolf addressed the media for the first time since September when he claimed his team made a mistake by activating running back Adrian Peterson following his arrest on child abuse charges. Now this week, he said via the Pioneer Press of St. Paul, he's always had a good heart. He's a great football player. We have great memories, and we'll continue to have good memories with him. He's been great for our community, and that's basically who he is. And when you know that's the character of that person, you believe in him.
He's got to say that. He's got to take that tack. You've brought him back into the fold. There's no other approach to take with that. What is to be gained from digging in and staying mad and staying distant and having that relationship fractured? There's nothing to be gained. You've got to move forward. And, you know, I think it's
so is he Steve Kerr it there?
No. No, I think it's different. Is that going to be a thing now? Steve Kerring it is going to be like
pretty
misleading
much.
The media?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
I like it. Is he Steve Kerring it? No, I think he's doing what all of us want to do in situations like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I remember the day that happened. And you asked me like for weeks afterward, almost like every other day, would you want Adrian Peterson in your backfield? Would you want him with the Bears? No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. How many times did I say that? And I think you have to take a step back. But I did always say, hopefully, and time is something that
heals.
It does heal. It changes your perspective. You hope that it has some sort of impact on the way that you view the world and the way that you view things. I want to be able to give guys like Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice and maybe even one day Ray McDonald, who I think is a clown, okay? But I think one day that you look at that, I want to be able to look at those situations. I think everybody does and say, we're going to give that guy a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance. You want to believe in redemption.
Agreed.
You want to believe in the best of people. It's not always possible. But I think Ziggy Wolf is reflecting that, and the Vikings organization is trying to reflect that in the way they're welcoming him back.
All right, we're just about out of time, by the way. Best put down of the week. Kellen Winslow tweeting at Antonio Cromartie. Uh-huh. Hey, at Crow 31, you wish you were a dad. Learn your kids' names.
I thought you were going to...
He's got 12 children by 8 women, and on Hard Knocks, he couldn't remember the name of all of his kids.
That's a pretty good one. I thought you were going to bring back something I said about your white pads.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. You're jealous of these pants. We're out of here.
What time does the yacht leave this afternoon, Captain Stu?
2 o'clock.
Okay.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You
travel
too.
Safely.
I hope to do that.
And if you're in Countryside or in that area, come see me at Kenny's tomorrow. I'm going to come out with the family and have a few drinks
and watch hockey. You are a glutton. Go see the Catman and lovely wife, Mindy, and tell her all the things that he has been saying about her on this show.
You got it.
Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend. Yep. Travel safe, buddy.
You too.
All right. Mikey, you're the man. See ya.
All right. Well, see you later.